Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Faderoute Podcast.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Christian Wilkins gets cut. Suns are back in the news. And more gambling investigations in baseball. But we begin today's show with the passing of the immortal Hulk Hogan at the age of 71. Hogan was larger than life. His 24-inch biceps and 6'7 frame were incredible. His battles against Andre the Giant and appearance in Rocky III put the WWE on the map. After historical success with the WWE, Hogan moved over to WCW as Hollywood Hogan and turned heel, where he created the New World Order, the NWO. Vince McMahon, WWE fans, AEW, and anyone who watches wrestling today owe everything to Hulk Hogan. So Z, how will you remember the Hulkster?
It's a very loaded question, especially in the past 15 years. I want to be diplomatic and say about 15 years back to the Gawker lawsuit, the sex tape, claiming that Hulk Hogan versus Terry Bollea split himself into two different people, as if, you know, Hulk Hogan the character and then Terry Bollea the human being.
Nice job by the legal team there.
There you go. It's just, on video saying the N word, saying that he was a racist and that we are all racist to some degree. Backing political affiliations, real American beer, real American freestyle, which never got off the ground because of his passing. I think Kurt Angle is now, jumping in on that and partnering with Eric Bischoff for the Real American Freestyle venture. As much as he attempted to sully his legacy, and there were many opportunities and many attempts to sully his legacy with his many lies, from something as innocuous as he was going to be in Metallica as the bassist, as silly as that, to where James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich had to come out and say, we never even met Hulk Hogan. So, you know, like, that's not going to happen. To the George Foreman grill, which apparently he didn't get that because he went to pick up his kids from school and he was too late. They left a voicemail on a answering machine. They passed on him because George Foreman picked up the phone. So, many lies, outright lies, stretching of the truths, very complicated man. But with all that comes the performer side of him, slamming the 600, 700, 800 pound Andre the Giant, depending on what day you ask Hogan. It registered on the Richter scale of the Pontiac Silver Dome, and WrestleMania 3 was Giant. You know, he was a huge part of the rock and wrestling revolution, the resurgence in the mid-90s, And he also helped to kill WCW. WCW died because of guys like Hogan, guys like Luger, guys like Flair, you know, older guys who didn't really want to give up their spots and just hemorrhaging bucks because of that. And like that was a very telling time, because it led to some dark times in wrestling. But I want to remember him as the entertainer. I don't want to remember him as the guy who said the character of Hulk Hogan had a 10-inch penis, but the real man Terry Bollea said no. Like, no, that's not the case. The Gawker lawsuit, if you read the Gawker lawsuit, it is, you know, and the deposition, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. Like, it's like Bill Clinton trying to define what is. It's like Hulk Hogan defining who Hulk Hogan is, and where he ends and where Terry Bollea begins, and characteristics of Hulk Hogan, but not characteristics of Terry Bollea. It's just, it's batshit crazy. And I didn't even mention the reality show. I didn't even mention Hogan Knows Best with Nick and Brooke and the weird sexualization of their relationship. And, you know, it was creepy. The creepy, creepy relationship between Hulk Hogan and Brooke. It was odd. Very, very odd. Very complicated. Complicated would be the best way I could describe Hulk Hogan. But I would like to remember... I would just like to remember all of the joy of watching him perform. But unfortunately for me, he did way too much. And there was way, way too much for me to just kind of compartmentalize that. But rest in peace, Hulkster. And yeah, it's like very, very, very mixed emotions. We'll be polite and say mixed emotions.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just remember the good things. He's the reason why I started watching wrestling. You know, him slamming Andre the Giant at WrestleMania was huge. I remember him going up against Ultimate Warrior, which was a big deal at the time.
WrestleMania 6?
And Warrior got up from the leg drop and then did the Willow Crit. That was amazing. The one that really got me into wrestling was when Yokozuna went up against Bret Hart, threw the salt in his eyes. Hart loses the title on his way back to the dressing room. Hogan comes out. Hogan goes in the ring, slams Yokozuna, pins him, and wins the title. I mean, that was just that. I believe that happened at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, which was incredible. The Mega Powers. And then also, you know, like you mentioned, him going to WCW and turning heel was huge. I mean, I bought the action figure, Hollywood Hogan, bow, 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 bow. That NWO, writing the NWO on the back of people with spray paint. The NWO belt was still a belt that I would love to get one day. It has the NWO on it, New World Order. Then because of that, they created new NWO Wolfpack. I always considered myself a Wolfpack member. But yeah, I mean, I have all good memories of Hogan. I actually got to see him at in Connecticut in Bridgeport.
Oh, wow.
At a SmackDown. I was in the third row. He came out and did a whole thing with the mic, and it was just a larger than life figure standing there. And then the best memory of all was his daughter Brooke sang the national anthem at a Monday Night Football game in 2004. I got to be in the green room with him, Hogan, and the Mouth of the South, with him, Brooke, and Nick, and Mouth of the South. And then, you know, we were trying to, like, you know, be professional, because, you know, I was a flag guy at the time, and, you know, just staying over in the corner, and, you know, you can't help it, he's there, you see him, it's Hogan, it's like, holy shit, he's right in the room with us, this is, like, incredible. And then somebody taps me on my shoulder, I'm like, and it was the mouth of the South, and he starts just talking to me, and I'm like, can't believe the mouth of the South's talking to me. Like, he came up to me, he's talking to me.
Can't believe the Jets are going to play today, baby. Ha!
And then he was talking about his son. His son was working for Tampa at the time. He was asking about what I do, how much I like it, like all asking me questions about me. Meanwhile, Hogan's in the corner. He's in my face. I'm like, this is crazy. Is this really happening right now? And then as we're out, we said, good luck, Brooke. Good luck on the anthem. And Hogan said, thanks, brother. And that's nice. It, man. Thanks, brother, man. It's like, damn, man. So I have nothing but good memories of him, despite, who he might have been really, or, what he might have done to other people. But him turning on Macho Man and that whole situation, it was just nothing but good memories. But yes, rest in peace, Hulkster. Thanks for the memories. And the show must go on.
But we got to talk about, and we're going to have a lot about fan interaction today. So there's going to be a lot of discussion today about what is and is not appropriate reaction. So for those of you that were like pissing on his grave on social media, like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to remember, you guys, to be positive about it. It's like his life could not have been easy. The size of the man he was, and what his life demanded every day, and what wrestling did to him, what he did to wrestling, what wrestling did to his family. I mean, most of the man's friends were long gone. He watched a lot of his friends die from overdose and from drugs and from the road. It couldn't have been an easy life, and I am no way defending him in any of his actions. I'm just trying to say, have some respect for a man right after he died.
100%. And people need to remember that while he's estranged from Brooke, right, while he's divorced from Linda, and I don't know what his relationship was with Nick at the time of his passing, he still had a family, right? Like, he's still a human being. He still deserves that. So, I mean, Jimmy Hart is left behind. Brian Knobs is left behind. Brutus Beefcake left behind. Bubba the Love Sponge. You have people that loved the man, right? They made, they loved Terry Bollea. Regardless of what you think of him and what you think of his actions, there are his fans who were devoted to him, who loved him. And, that has to be taken into account. You're entitled to your opinion. You are 100% entitled to your opinion. They are 100% allowed to grieve the loss of a father, the loss of a friend, the loss of a business partner. They're allowed to grieve without you peeing on their grave, on the Hulkster's grave.
Yeah, exactly. But we move on. So we are about 24 hours away from the Major League Baseball deadline, and several teams are active. We had the Mets go and get Hensley today, which is a huge move for them. There are reports that they're not done. We see the Braves going to getting relief pitchers. God knows why. We saw, I believe, somebody went and got the closer. Oh, the Phillies went and got the closer on, the Twins. So there's a lot going on. So Z, what are you waiting to see in the next 24 hours?
So
Brian Hayes got acquired by the Reds. That's a pretty big move for them.
I still think Rogers is going to get flipped, though, because you have major league relief talent going back to the Pirates, who are dead last and who have no aspirations for a playoff race. So I'm assuming that Rogers is going to get flipped as an asset. An interdivision trade like that, I found very interesting, an interdivision trade. You also go back to Josh Naylor. Like, Josh Naylor is now on the Seattle Mariners. Like, that broke after last week's show. So I'm watching Eugenio Suarez, right? He got hit on the hand, I believe, on Sunday. Yeah. So X-rays are negative. We're going to see what happens.
He's not playing today.
Yeah, so they're probably holding him out until he gets dealt. So I would say, Ryan McMahon got traded. Ryan McMahon's a Yankee. So that took them two lower level prospects. It didn't take Jones. It didn't take Lombard. And it didn't take
Duran. That's who went to the Phillies.
And Johan Duran got traded without the Phillies giving up their top prospect.
They gave up number 4 and number 6, though.
Yeah, but you know what? They kept number 1. They kept Painter. That's what they were trying to do. That's all they were trying to keep out of the trade was we're not giving up Painter. So there's something that teams can kind of see where the market is. Like, it's going to take you 2 top 10 prospects or 2 top 20 prospects and a major league player. When you look at the Rodgers deal, because the Tyler Rodgers went to the Mets too. So in 2 trades today, the Mets bolstered the back end of their bullpen. Tyler Rodgers cost them the number 10 pick, the number 10 prospect, number 12 prospect, and Jose Buteau from the major league bullpen. So that's a lot. It's a very rich move for a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And I get he's a 1.8 ERA. I get he's having a great year. He's 34 years old. He's going to be a free agent. That's a steep price. It shows that the Mets are going all in, right? Helsley, trading for Helsley. You gave up Jesus Baez, who I believe is the number 7. So
6
or 7, somewhere in there. So you're pushing your chips into the middle of the table if you're the Mets, right? You now have a strong back end of the bullpen. You've moved Stanek into like the 6th or 7th inning. You move Garrett into the 6th or 7th inning. You have Gregory Soto that you acquired. You have Brooks Raley, who you signed as a free agent. You have players, right? And if Waskar Brazoban takes his 2 weeks and comes back, like, he'll be, you know, nice and refreshed because he was overworked in the majors. As far as who I'm looking for, Mason Miller is a guy that is on the radar for the Mets. He's on the radar for the Yankees, the Phillies. So we'll see if he gets moved. Most likely he's not going to, but I would like to see... I'd like to see teams try. I'd like to see that. You know, Jones, Lombard, Schlittler. Like, what do you got? What are you going to put in front of Oakland, the Athletics, to pry Mason Miller away, right? Eugenio Suarez, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? Because, again, he's a rental. The rental price is high trade deadline. So I'm looking at those two guys. I'm looking at Stephen Kwan. I'm looking at Smith from the Guardians. Those are two guys that could be had. I've also heard that Shane Bieber might be getting floated around in trades, but they're looking at medicals and they're not sure about, you know, how he's going to hold up. But there are teams out here. I'm waiting for the Dodgers to get involved, right? The Dodgers are quiet, and that's disturbing, right? The Padres are trying to dangle Dylan Cease. They want major league caliber talent. They don't want prospects. They want guys who can plug and play right now. So if the Yankees want him, they're probably going to have to go Dominguez and Rice. Like, they're going to have to go with major league caliber players. I mean... they're probably not going to want Volpe. They're probably not going to want another shortstop because they have an infield full of shortstops. So
maybe because he's garbage and he leads the league in fucking errors.
Possibly.
I used to think he was hurt. Now I think he just can't fucking see.
Well, they might need to have his vision checked for sure. But teams who I'm looking to, I'm looking for Luis Robert. What are the White Sox have a couple guys they can get rid of. Are they going to unload them? Are they going to be able to? Or is the asking price too high? The Orioles still have some players that you can probably pry away. You have all the veterans on the Pirates. You have all the veterans, you know, on the Diamondbacks. I think they're still out. And now the Twins. Rumor has it, Carlos Correa is coveted by the Astros. Now that would be a very interesting get.
To play where?
With him, you're probably looking at... you're either spelling a couple of Pena a couple days, and then
he's batting 246.
Probably DH.
What the fuck do they need him for? He's terrible. They're winning more without him.
They are in first place, so they're looking to upgrade wherever they can upgrade. So I mean, because we know that Buxton is out, and Buxton will be out for the foreseeable future. And another team to look at, the Braves. They have some guys. They have Ozuna. They have Iglesias.
We seem to be in buy mode. Why are they got Carrasco for God knows what reason? Then they go in and getting another reliever from the Rockies. The Rockies? That's the team you want to get relievers from? Atlanta is lost 21 of their last 29 fucking games.
Atlanta's tanking.
They've been shut out 5 fucking times.
They're fucking tanking.
Acuña just went on the IL, and I don't think he's coming back. His Achilles is tight, and they're just like, fuck it.
No. Fuck he's it. Done. Shut him down.
Shut this shit down. Trade Sale. Trade Acuña. Trade them all. Not Acuña. What's his face?
Riley?
No. Oh, yeah. I'd trade Riley or the second baseman.
Albies. Oh, Albies?
Albies. Yeah. Trade them all. Suck. We ain't winning shit. Trade them all.
So who's on your radar? Who are you looking to see?
For me, it's Zach Allen. Whoever gets Zach Allen is probably going to get to the World Series, get to the championship game. Whether that's the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Astros. Imagine if the Astros went and got Zach Allen. I don't know. And then I was surprised that the Yankees didn't get Paddock. That was a miss. That was a total miss, guys. What are you doing? He would have been perfect.
They're fixed on Alcantara. They're very target fixed on Sandy Alcantara.
Trash. He's trash. Yeah, so that's what I'm waiting for. It seems like the Angels are buyers. That's fucking weird to me, too. Because I thought this would have been a perfect time to sell Trout off to the Phillies or to whoever. This is it. This would have been, hey, you know, we tried this year, but they've played like shit the last 2 series. They got swept by the Mets. It's like, guys, what? They're buyers. They went and picked up somebody. What the hell are you guys doing? And Suarez, yeah, Suarez too is the other guy, which I would think that he's gonna go to the Mariners. I would think. The Yankees got their third baseman now, so they're not going to get him. So, yeah, I would think he would go to the Mariners. But whoever gets him, it's a big-time home run pump right there.
Not for sure. And, you know, the Mariners are always looking for that injection of pop into their lineup. But, I mean, the Angels are only 2 games under 500. Yeah, I get it. You're bad. You are a bad team, but it's the illusion of the third wild card. Like, this is what we've been talking about for a couple of years now. They still think they're in it. The Guardians are 1 game under. The Rays are flat 500, right? But everybody thinks they can catch the Mariners, who are only 6 games over. It's possible, right? You get hot, they get cold. We've seen it happen.
Catching the clap is possible. That's not possible.
But, you know, you're looking at, I mean, obviously, you're looking at the Orioles, A's, and White Sox. They aren't going anywhere. That's pretty much established.
Yeah, because the O's are sellers, right? They traded a pitcher.
They sold off
to the Mets, right?
Yeah, they sold off Soto to the Mets. They sold Dominguez to the Blue Jays in between games of a doubleheader against the Blue Jays.
That's fun.
So, good stuff. I mean, Bautista is hurt, so probably not going to get rid of him. But your old buddy Charlie Morton might be available. So they have some pieces. Laureano, former Brave, like he may catch some attention there. And then I'm confused by the Rays. I hear reports that Brandon Lau is on the market. And then they're going and, like, they're adding Nick Fortes. Like, they're not making moves that make sense. Yeah. They're just sitting at they're sitting at 500, but they're not making themselves any better. You know? Like, they're not making themselves any better. They're not making themselves any worse. Just kind of rearranging deck chairs here in hopes that things will somehow, like, turn around.
Yeah. A dream without a plan is a wish.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Well, speaking of wishes, yeah. I'm sure Emmanuel Classe wishes that he threw more competitive pitches to start the ninth inning in most of his appearances this year. Emmanuel Classe of the Guardians is suspended amid a gambling investigation after video came out regarding his wasted pitch percentage in his outings. That now makes two Cleveland Guardians on suspension for alleged gambling as he joins Luis Ortiz. So how many more players will join them before it's all said and done? And how does Major League Baseball fix this?
I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. I mean, this all but ends the Guardian season, because they're not going to be able to contend without their closer for a whole month. This hurts their chances to make trades at the deadline. Kwan's not going to come back after this. They have to trade Kwan now, too. This whole thing is a disaster. You know, I can't. Of all things in baseball, like, you've just ruined, like, the character of baseball. Who could trust what anybody's doing or believe anything that's going on? You know, you're constantly accusing players of fucking gambling. Now, I don't know if he's guilty or not, but let's say he's not. You just wasted a whole month of his fucking career for what? You know, just because he's not playing well? Like, because it's questionable how he's playing? They have a huge problem. Huge problem. And I don't know how you fix it, because you're in bed with them now. Like, you're like gambling partners with them. They're sponsors. Like, where does this go? Which one's going to be the first down? I don't know how you get rid of it. They're making so much money hand over fist on it. How do you get rid of it now? You've become sports entertainment. And then we'll get to this story next, but then he has the audacity to walk into locker rooms and start talking about fucking a salary cap. Dude, go fucking fix this gambling problem. That's what you need to be focused on. You got to be worried about your product. Everybody questions your product. And then the worst part about this is, when are the lawsuits going to come in from people who lost money betting on this stuff to guys that were cheating? When's that going to happen?
Right.
Is this all going to be like the steroid era? We're going to pretend like these people aren't on steroids or these people aren't cheating. And then someone's going to drop this 700-page document saying, okay, we were doing investigations and this guy cheated here, this guy cheated here, this guy gambled here, this guy gambled here. Is that what it's going to take to put an end to gambling in sports or gambling in baseball? How coincidental is it that you are letting Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame and at the same time you're fucking condemning guys for doing exactly what he did? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Hypocrisy is not lost on many people. The Ortiz investigation is weird. It's weirder than Classe.
Let's just put it this way, Z. I'm a person that gambles on sports. I'm having a tough time getting myself to gamble on baseball because of this.
Mm.
Because of the uncertainty of it all. Because I'm like, wait a minute, this is loaded. This is a loaded gun. This isn't... These guys, something's not right here, you know?
Well, I mean, at this point, what sport would you consider legitimate? Because how many times do we have to hear that the refs are fixing it for the Chiefs? Like, that was a running story. We had a player banned in the NBA for gambling. We had Terry Rozier investigated for gambling. So it's clear as day. You can't bet on baseball. As soon as you walk in. That doesn't mean you can't be aware of the line. So, that's something, right? And we've been seeing it, right? Players are more than aware. They play fantasy football. They play fantasy baseball. Like, they play fantasy sports. They're gambling. They're human beings.
Not only this, though, but you sent me an article where Giolito's getting threatened.
Death threats.
So gambling is not only affecting players who are cheating, but it's affecting those that have now added pressure that just maybe not playing so well. And now he's got to deal with death threats because this guy had money on the game and I blew it for him. Like, what the fuck are we talking about right now?
Yeah. Well, not just him. It wasn't just Lucas Giolito. It was also his girlfriend. So yeah. You have situations like with doxing where people can find out where you live, swatting. They call the SWAT team on you. So you have scenarios where people with an axe to grind are grinding that axe, right? They're leveraging what they have to access the player. And it's a really, like, it's a scary world out there, man. Like, think about, like, if you remember 61. Roger Maris was getting letters at the stadium about, you know, you better not break that record. Right? Or else. Similar vein, man. Except now, they can hit you even closer. They don't have to just write you a letter at your place of employment. Like, they can get you right in your pocket. They can get you right in your phone. And they're waiting for you. It's a brave new and scary new world that Lucas Giolito's had to deal with. I believe Freddie Freeman had to deal with that. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? What is wrong with you? But also, to be fair, these, you know, how are we going to be able to tell somebody who's throwing a game versus somebody who's just not good? Right? Class A, he's kind of all over the place. Like, that's who he is. He's got a hard slider, hard cutter. His job is to not put it over the plate. Like, his stuff is designed to not go over the plate. So I don't understand. I don't know how you prove it. That's the thing. How do you prove that this was intentional? Like, the Luis Ortiz investigation is off of two pitches. Two! That were spiked in the dirt. How do you prove this? That is going to be a very arduous task. But MLB, they're not going to like this. But the only way to extricate themselves from this is to ban gambling. Like, they have to undo the partnerships. They have to undo all this. But here's the thing.
There's a reason why it wasn't around for 100 years of fucking baseball.
Bingo. 1919 Black Sox, anyone? Hello. The only difference here is that these guys get paid a hell of a lot more than the Black Sox were getting. And old Tommy Comiskey was holding them over a barrel.
I'm watching the Dodgers play in the Reds right now, and the scoreboard is sponsored by FanDuel.
That's all you need to know. Right, in your pregame show.
But guys, you can't gamble.
Right.
Well, Rob Manfred has not been dealing with the gambling issue. He decided to talk to the Phillies about a potential salary cap in 2 years, which sparked Bryce Harper to confront the commissioner in a fiery exchange. Harper seemed to be content with not playing 162 games in protest of a salary cap if that was to be established for the 2027 season. So, which will happen first? A salary cap, a lockout, or Rob Manfred getting knocked out?
I believe the exact words from Bryce Harper were, if you're going to talk about that, you might as well get the fuck out of here. I believe was as close to a direct quote as I can give you. What's going to happen first?
There are so many more issues to be dealing with. Yep. Like, and like, dude, get rid of the ghost runner on second base in extra innings. Like, get rid of this shit. How about we get balls and strikes right? I saw a game last night where the guy threw it right down the middle of the plate. I'm watching the game. I see the box. It's down the middle of the plate. Guy calls it a ball. Fuck, man. It's wrong. How about we get shit right?
Padres Mets, dude. Look at the freaking strike zone in Padres Mets. You're telling me a little ABS action? That's fixed. and he doesn't have a vendetta against the team for the rest of the game.
Because
it wasn't just Soto, it was Nimmo, it was multiple guys, because this guy can't do his job right.
And we're worried about a salary cap in 2 years. I think we're wrong about, I applaud Bryce Harper, even though a lot of people are giving him shit for it. But I think there are other things that everyone, when the commissioner comes to town, take issue with everything else that's wrong with the damn league. Ask him when he's resigning. Ask him when he's retiring.
His job as the commissioner of baseball, just like Roger Goodell as the commissioner of football, he works for the owners. That is his job. His job is to keep money in their pocket. So, how is that going to work? In this case, it's going to be a lockout. It's going to be a lockout. Be prepared. Dude, ice up your knees. I'm already icing up my elbow. I will scab. I'll scab for that season. I'll be a major leaguer, baby.
Can baseball survive another lockout? Can they afford to lose a season? Because the 1994 season set them back, and the only reason why it got entertaining again...
Steroids. Yeah. I think if they get locked out again, it's going to take even longer to get back.
I agree.
Not only is it going to take longer to get back, there are going to be some markets that you ain't never getting back.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. You lost Montreal. You got lucky. You only lost one market coming out of 94, right? And think about the 94 season. Think all the way back. It would have been, with good reason to think, Expos, Yankees in the World Series. You go from, we have the potential to be a world championship team, to now we're like playing half of our season in Puerto Rico. We're playing half of our season in DC. We're playing like 20 games in Montreal. We went from this like powerful franchise to now like we're barely hanging on.
I think the problem baseball will have if there is another lockout and they do lose the entire season is you're not going to be able to catch up. You're going to have to set ticket prices so high that people aren't going to pay it. I think that's the problem that you're going to come up with, right? Because your $80 ticket will now be a $100 ticket. Your $100 ticket will be a $120 ticket. That's in the large markets like New York, Chicago, and LA, Florida. Not Florida, but in the smaller markets, I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens to the Kansas City Royals. I don't know. There's not a whole lot else going on then. So I don't know if they really lose that, you know.
You're going to lose Tampa Bay. You're going to lose. You might lose Kansas City. You're going to lose. I mean, you're going to lose the A's, wherever the fuck their market is.
Right. Yeah, you definitely lose the A's.
Like, what are you going to do there? Yeah, so you're going to lose. Some markets, you're not going to recover.
Does the Vegas franchise not happen then?
I think John Fisher is going to want to pocket that revenue. I think he's going to want to, unless they. But that's another thing. You're going to force John Fisher to sell the team. That's another thing you might want to invest in. You might want to look at if you're Rob Manfred. But I think both sides need to come together. They need to start thinking about the NHL lockout. I think it was 04-05. Or no, 03-04. You lost a season, but NHL popularity, it hit the ground running. Why? Because they priced tickets low. Now, I know what you're saying. You want to maximize your profits. You want to get all that back. What I'm saying here is you want to make that back in volume. If I have a $20 ticket, my fucking stadium's been packed every night. Like, and if I put good, and this is where it gets tricky. And this is where I think you're going to have to see a salary floor and a salary cap. Because you got a team like the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we talked about that last week, right? We talked about their inability to keep players. And we just saw that today. They traded Ke'Bryan Hayes. Right? We talked specifically about Paul Skeens. That's another team that you may lose, right? Because they've been so bad for so long. But if you're like $10, $20 tickets and you're able to put a competitive product on the field, you're going to get people to come to the ballpark. You're absolutely going to get to get people to come to the ballpark. With a few cosmetic tweaks, you keep the pitch clock. Pitch clock seems to be working. You put in ABS. The ABS appears to work.
Oh, that's 100%. I'm still beyond.
Yeah. So you put those two things in. You get rid of the ghost runner. If you want to put the swing off, I'll even bend and say put the swing off in after 12 innings.
They're going to put the swing off in too.
If so you do those three things, plus the salary cap and the salary floor, you might be able to stop a work stoppage. You might be able to. Because right now,
you're saying if they do those things, then they'll
They're going to need to do something to stop this inevitable work stoppage. It's inevitable, man. Like, I've said it last week. We're marching towards that.
The players are not going to go for a cap seat. They're not going for it.
No way. Well, enjoy being unemployed, then. I don't know what to tell you.
They will. They make enough money now.
And that's the problem.
They make more than enough money. Soto could pay that whole team.
Exactly. They should. Some of these players have the gross domestic product of a small country. Like, that's their salary. So.
And that's where they're from. They're going to go there and where it's worth quadruple.
And meanwhile, it kills the sport here. So it's greed on both sides. Greed on both sides are going to kill everything.
I am all for them not having a salary cap. I don't care. Honestly. If the Rays don't want to spend money, don't fucking spend money. It's your prerogative. Do whatever you want. It's your team. You know, it was a different story, you know, years ago when not everybody was spending as much as the Yankees were. That's when we did need a salary cap. You don't need a salary cap now. Everybody's spending. You got it. It's up to you if you want to spend it or not. You don't want to spend it? Then be a mid-level team that makes the wild card. You make your money in the first and second round, and then you're gone. Okay, that's who you are. You can't do it in baseball. It just doesn't work. It's not going to work. There's too many players. You're going to create a, I don't think there's a lot at the top. I think everybody has a chance to compete. I've seen the shit Rays make the World Series. Florida Marlins win it twice.
With superstar players that they had to sell off because they couldn't afford.
They picked their spots. Pick your spots. Be creative. I've seen the Oakland A's win 22, 23 games in a row. It can be done. It's not like it can't be, especially in the new format. Like, you really just need to play really, really good the last 2 months of the season. And you'll get there. You'll get in. You'll be hot enough. I don't like the idea of making teams pay a certain amount. Like, I don't like a floor. And on the ceiling, that's, you know, what are you trying to do? You're just trying to prevent, like, an Ohtani and a Soto? That's just something that the Dodgers and the Yankees and all those rich teams can do. They want to do that? Do it. Go for it. Buy your championships. And then when you lose, how are you going to justify that?
Here's the problem. 65% of the players in the league make damn near close to the league minimum. 65%. So you don't think that those guys are going to get pissed off about they're not getting theirs because you got like a guy like Bryce Harper, who's now an undervalued talent because of a guy like Juan Soto, a guy like Manny Machado and a guy like Shohei Ohtani?
I don't know what to tell you.
It's two separate leagues.
Go play in Japan. Go play in the DR. I don't know what to tell you. This is Major League Baseball. This is what it is, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646 221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Moving on to football, Christian Wilkins was cut by the Raiders only a year after signing a four-year, $110 million contract that contained $84 million in guarantees. There were some disagreements about whether Wilkins needed a second surgery or not on his foot. Wilkins apparently kissed the forehead of a teammate, which prompted an HR complaint and later led to his dismissal. So is this business as usual for the NFL, or is something else going on here?
He has been recovering from a Jones fracture. So if he was not rehabbing to their satisfaction, I think they have a grievance. They have a right to come after some of the money. I don't know necessarily if they can just outright terminate him. I don't know if that, I mean, because there's going to be a counter grievance filed by the NFLPA, right? Because they're going to want some compensation for that. Since it was happening, you know, the rehab was happening on their watch, the Raiders can dictate terms, right? It's not like he was going to an outside rehab source. But the stuff about him kissing guys on the forehead, and there was like a, you know, a kissing booth, as I think Max Crosby called it, a kissing booth to get into the shower. Like, it was, yeah, it's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre behavior, but the NFL and sports in general has always had weird guys. There's always been those weird, eccentric players, and this is just something that happens. Is it right? No. Is it worthy of an HR complaint? Sure. Absolutely. That might have been the straw that broke the camel's back, was the HR complaint. But it sounds like you got a lot going on there. Some of it football related, some of it personal, where his teammates are complaining about him. And ultimately, I think it was a little buyer's remorse on the Raiders' part. It sounds like there's a little buyer's remorse, because it's not like he was the most productive in the world. So
I think he only played like four games.
Yeah. So they're trying to take their shot. They're trying to figure out how to get out from under it. And, you know, they're going to suffer because free agents are going to think twice about going there. Christian Wilkins is going to suffer in the court of public opinion because of the HR complaint. Like, he's going to have to, like, win the trust of the next team he goes to. He's going to have to win the trust of the locker room, kind of thing. And all in all, I think both sides end up looking pretty bad here.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot more to this story. He has a history of doing weird things. You know, I think he played for the Dolphins during the Hard Knocks season, and he said a lot of weird stuff. And, you know, some football players are a little eccentric. They're a little out there, a little weird. You know, I can see things getting a little dicey when the trainers are saying, dude, you need a second foot surgery. And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to rehab it. It's just like, well, you don't really get to make that decision, man. So if that's the route you want to go, then we're going to take this to court. Like, that's basically, I feel like, how it was rolling out.
Yeah.
Like, I think they wanted him to have a second surgery. And he, well, you know, understandably so, wanted to try to play and you know, show he could do it. And they're like, that's not how this works. You know, like, you are under contract. We're the doctor. We're telling you that you can't rehab this thing. We got to get the surgery done so that you can come back, you know, in a certain amount of time. As far as, you know, kissing the full player's forehead, you know, we're in a different time. You know, some people take offense to things like that. I'm sure he meant nothing by it. But, you know, you have to respect boundaries. You have to respect people, the way people feel. And kudos to the player who went and reported to HR, because that is an HR complaint. That's totally plausible. You when we're not on the football field, you cannot be touching me in any kind of way like that and be affectionate. You don't have the right to do that, man. And if you were disrespecting somebody like that, there's no room for it in any sport.
Or even on the football field, because they actually have a video of him like reaching into the dog pile and grabbing Josh Allen inappropriately in a Dolphins Bills scenario.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, he's just got a history of being a little eccentric, being a little weird. It doesn't make it it's okay. I think one of the players came out, and when they asked him about it, he's like, man, I just hope he gets the help he needs. I hope everybody, gets the help they need. And if you are feeling like you need to talk to somebody, go say something. So clearly, people were all kind of not liking the vibes he was putting out there, not liking the way he was acting. And, for that reason, you've got to go. You've got to go. And then the Raiders are doing what they got to do from a professional standpoint to get their money back. They're not going to try to pay you for shit you ain't doing. And it's understandable.
Also the same way, like if the player feels that he's being unjustly terminated from his position, they're going to file a grievance. They're going to take this thing to court. They're going to take this thing all the way to Roger Goodell, if not to a civil court. So this is going to be messy. It's not going to be very clean. That is for sure.
Which is fine. I mean, everybody gets their day in court. He's going to get to say his piece. They're going to say their piece. I'm sure they'll agree upon like a dollar figure that, everyone's okay with walking away from, and then he can move on. And then hopefully he can just understand what he did was wrong and be better moving forward. And the Raiders can be better without him. But, you can't, it's just like you said, we're in a different time now. You might have not thought what you were doing was so bad, but you did it to the wrong person, or you did it to a person that did not see it that way. And you have to respect all people's feelings. And so hopefully he learned his lesson, and hopefully everybody else who saw this happen understands there are a lot of do's and don'ts, and this is a don't. Doesn't matter what contract you have, it doesn't matter what kind of player you are, but there are lines in the sand and you do not cross them. No matter if it's football, baseball, basketball, media, hockey, soccer, it doesn't really matter. You just have to respect other people's personal spaces and other people's boundaries, especially when you're not on the football field.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Staying in the legal realm, we'll move over to basketball. The Phoenix Suns are back in the news again. All for the wrong reasons. Gene Traylor, a Suns employee, is suing the organization for retaliation, was fired this week. Just for the record, this brings the number of civil suits against the Suns/Mercury organization to 5. So is it time for Mr. Silver to step in here?
Certainly sounds like retaliation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like retaliation.
Yeah, certainly they thought does. They were going to get away with it.
Yeah, so this is the fifth time that Matt Ishbia has had to deal with this. And that's five too many. That is five too many. Cultures of intimidation, cultures of retaliation against, whistleblowers and people who just disagree with how you're running things.
That's all in a 10-month span.
Yeah. So, and this, you know, this was supposed to be like the breath of fresh air from Robert Sarver. Like, he was supposed to be the guy that replaced Robert Sarver, and it was supposed to issue in and usher in a new era in Phoenix. But it sounds like second verse same as the first. But you're looking at even interim head coach Nikki Blue from the Phoenix Mercury. She filed a lawsuit saying that there was racial discrimination, gender discrimination, retaliation, intimidation. In a corporate scenario, in a corporate environment, you cannot run it as anything other than above board, right? You have to mind your P's and Q's at all time. You have to behave and conduct yourself and conduct business in a way that is beyond reproach.
I just want to read a couple of excerpts here. It says, in this lawsuit, Traylor said one of his primary roles was to identify safety, financial, and reputational risk for the Suns in 2023. Traylor submitted the presentation for management, which was previously reviewed by ESPN, that outlined specific incidents of concern. Traylor alleged the presentation led Suns management to retaliate against him, including having him demoted nearly a year later. He also alleged the team discouraged him from taking protective leave after he was diagnosed with cancer. What the fuck? Meanwhile, when they did field tests, two plainclothes police officers were able to enter the arena with a knife, with knives, and then on a separate occasion, two officers were able to bring a knife and were able to get two handguns into the arena. So his presentation was showing the risks and concerns, and those things actually did happen.
Blew right by, or by the people at the top. So
he was punished for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to stuff like this, the commissioner should step in. But this is Adam Silver we're talking about here. This isn't just any commissioner now, is it? Right? This is the guy that banned Donald Sterling for life, right? Mr. Joe Hardass. That was like one of the first things he did as commissioner before he became a puppet for the players. He needs to tap into the original, the OG Adam Silver. And it's like, dude, you gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, that's five people, men's league, women's league, and you're creating an unsafe environment for your customers, our fans, with this cavalier attitude and this, like, boiler room retaliation nonsense. If you're going to do this, you can't be an owner. Like, if this is what you allow, if this is what you find acceptable, then you can't be part of our organization. Right? When Donald Sterling made racist comments, they got rid of him. When he was proven to be problematic for the brand, they got rid of him. This is beyond what Ishbia did to the team in terms of roster construction, right? He ran that team into the ground, and now he's building a culture that is toxic. It's time to step in. It's absolutely time to... If at very least, suspend him pending an investigation, pending the settlement or the adjudication of all these lawsuits. But you can't have him in charge. You can't have this going on and continue to go on in less than a calendar year. No way.
Of Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
The choice is yours. Swipe left or swipe right.
All right, boys and girls, especially my online dating fans, we have a statement, and it's either you swipe left or you swipe right. Swipe left or swipe right, number one. Kenny Pickett being the odd man out by the end of Browns training camp.
Man, I'm hearing it's really bad at Browns training camp right now. I'm hearing that none of those guys should be starting. None of them. That's what I'm hearing. So I'm going to swipe left on Kenny Pickett because he's hurt and he's just not getting reps. He can't play. Like, what's going to wind up happening is you're probably going to get Gabriel as the starter. And then, like, in week 6 or 7, you're going to bring in Shador. That's what it's looking like right now. It's really bad in Cleveland.
It's a rough, rough situation that you got going.
They have two first-round picks next year, too, I think. It should be all right.
Oh, my God. I'm swiping left on Kenny Pickett being the odd man out. If he is injured, then he's going to be on IR. Now you're looking at Joe Flacco. If I'm,
because IR will be, I think, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Or 5 weeks.
Yeah. So that leaves you with Joe Flacco, Shador Sanders, Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel has been outperforming Shador Sanders. Joe Flacco is really there for the veteran mentorship and to be the cheaper trade alternative for when, if and when, a veteran QB goes down in training camp, right? Just last week when Justin Fields dislocated his toe, the two names that were on the tip of everybody's tongue, Kirk Cousins and Joe Flacco, when they thought he was out for the season, trade for Joe Flacco, trade for Kirk Cousins. Those are going to be the guys, man. And I firmly believe that Joe Flacco will not be a Cleveland Brown to start the season. Someone will come call. So whether that's the Colts again, because they realize Anthony Richardson is hot garbage and they just want somebody to back up Daniel Jones, or somebody else who wants a veteran mentor. So I think that Kenny Pickett's gonna be there, you know, come hell or high water. I don't know how much he's gonna play this year because they're invested in the kids, but you don't trade for Kenny Pickett and then just kind of like let him sit there and die on the vine. But he will be there in some capacity. Swipe left or swipe right, number two. The MLS suspending Messi and Jordi Alba one game for skipping the All-Star game.
Yeah, I'm swiping right. That's fine. That's the rules. And they knew what the rules were, and they did it anyway. So that's fine. I don't have any problem with that.
I'm swiping right as well. I'm glad that Don Garber grew a set. The issue has been, are there two sets of rules? And this is something that we have been discussing for a long time. Are there two sets of rules in sports? One for the superstar and one for everybody else, right? If the fourth or fifth man on NYCFC, or if the, you know, one of the guys on the San Jose Earthquake said, fuck it, I'm not coming, how quickly would that suspension have come down? Right? But because it's Leo Messi, because it's Jordi Alba, right? They just brought Thomas Muller into the league. When Thomas Muller makes the All-Star team, you have to hold the superstars to the same rules and the same regulations that the rank-and-file player has to follow, right? Major League Baseball, I think, is going through that right now. Football is going through, every sport is going through that right now. There seems to be two sets of rule books, one that applies to the superstar and then one that applies to the rank-and-file player. So kudos to Don Garber for taking a stand and saying, no, you're a member of this league. You're abide by our rules. Plain and simple. I don't care who you are. Oh, you're going to leave? Okay, bye. The league existed with you. The league will exist without you. Right. And I understand, like, Messi moves merch. Messi sells tickets. I get it. I understand that. But at the same time, Messi needs to be out in front for the league. As a superstar player, it's your responsibility to be out in front and be the face of the league. We had the same issue with stars skipping out of the MLB All-Star game. You go there, you tip your cap, and sit down. It's not hard. You go out there, you tip your cap, when do I get paid? As Jimmy Dugan once said, I went out, I smiled, I tipped my cap. When do I get paid?
My little hat, and when do I get paid?
Bingo. Like, it's a transaction. It's part of being the face of the league. You have to.
Fourth inning, I couldn't figure out if you were drunk or dead.
Anything worth doing is worth doing right. Love that move in the fourth and you scratched balls for an out. But seriously, like, that's all you're asking. That's all they're asking of you. Just go there, doff your cap, and sit down. That's it.
We paid you a little bit more because you'd be a little bit more less disgusting.
I certainly used the money. That's all you got to do. That's all it requires. It's part of the job. If you don't want to do the job, then too bad. There are consequences for your actions. Even if your name is Leo Messi.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account, at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll, at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That'd be one Mr. Anthony Volpe.
Oh, he's a stud. That's my guy.
An absolute stud. Absolute stud. He... Would it surprise you if the Yankees got rid of him tomorrow?
Yes.
The trade deadline's tomorrow?
Yes. They refuse to admit defeat on that absolute terrible prospect of theirs.
They brought him up too early. They won't send him down.
Right.
What are you doing?
Just send the kid down. He's batting like 212.
But then, like, they'll show. I mean, he'll blast a 452-foot homer, but he's got 14 errors.
Leads majors.
Well, that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got the Atlanta Braves. Anybody else excited for the Speedway Classic? I know I am, where the Reds will take on the shit Braves that are fucking 17 games out of first, and they're 2 games away from being 20 games under 500. The Braves have lost 21 of 29, and they've been shut out 5 times. Ronald Acuna will not be playing in this game because he's headed to the IL with an Achilles issue. They're trying to trade Ozuna. They're blowing this shit up. Atlanta Braves, you are my Legend Shoes Stars of the Week. Next up, I've got Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred, you decide to go into the Phillies dugout or the Phillies clubhouse and talk to these guys about a possible salary cap in 2027. You're lucky you got out of there with your life. You're lucky you got out of there with your life, dude. There are so many more issues with baseball. You got gambling, you got ghost runners, you've got terrible umpire play. Get your house in order. Get your priorities straight. Stop taking the tour around the world talking about a salary cap and work on fixing the game. Rob Manfred, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And the next one I got are the Clippers.
Ooh.
Signing Chris Paul?
Your favorite.
You have now become the oldest team in basketball with the average age of 34 years old. Striking comparison to the Thunder, who the average age of their team is 25. And just by the way, you'll have to beat them in a fucking 7-game series to make it to the NBA Finals. So I don't know what Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, and James Harden are going to do against anybody. Los Angeles Clippers, you are my alleged superstars of the week. What do you got, Z?
Good choices. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of them. I am going to start with Agent Zero. That's right, Gilbert Arenas. Arrested on charges of hosting illegal poker games in a home in Encino. Was that really necessary to turn your house into an illegal high stakes casino? You got a podcast, right? You're well known. You made money in the league, and apparently, a member of Israeli organized crime was there. I don't know. Is this Rounders? Is this the movie Rounders come to life? Is this really happening? It feels like we're being punked. But Agent Zero, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the tandem of Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor. Since June 13th, they are tied for the worst hitters in Major League Baseball since June 13th. Pete in himself has dropped almost 50 points in his batting average.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's something going on right now. And their lackluster play goes
50 points.
Yeah. It goes as their stars go, man. And you can tell they're pressing. Soto's pressing too. You saw him freak out last night and almost get tossed. So as good as the Mets are, there's a lot to be concerned about. They addressed it with the bullpen. The offense is next, man. But the alleged superstars of this team are starting to feel it, and it's showing. Alonso, Lindor, you are my alleged superstars of the week. And then number three, I gotta go with Skip Bayless. Yesterday there was a tragic shooting in New York in the building of NFL headquarters, among other businesses. And Mr. Bayless had to put out his opinion on things. Quote, thank God the New York City shooter apparently took the wrong bank of elevators and didn't make it to the NFL floors. He reportedly bizarrely blamed the NFL for what he believed to be his CTE, suffered from playing high school football, end quote. Six people died yesterday.
Oh, they did die.
Six people. I believe six people are dead.
Wow.
Including the shooter. But that is that Putz's first reaction. Thank God he didn't make it to the NFL offices. What the fuck is wrong with you? No, seriously, no, what is wrong with you people? What is going on? Do we really need to have a discussion about etiquette? Do we need to have a discussion about civility and what it means to be a human? You need to learn how to choose your words better, because people died yesterday. Thank God he didn't make it to the NFL offices. Oh, yeah. Thank my lucky stars. Fucking ridiculous. Skip Bayless, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.